You know how much I love my pillow, how much it's changed my life for the better. Well, I figured it was about time that I let you know about my pillow sheets. Now, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. That's why he has created the new Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Now, these sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza, that's only grown in a very small region where the Sahara Desert, Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River all meet to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. These Giza sheets are available in a variety of colors. They come with Mike's 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. The first night you sleep on these sheets, it's heaven. You'll never want to sleep on anything else. Now, right now, you, my listeners, you're going to save 30% and get free shipping when you use the promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, when you go to MyPillow.com. Again, that's promo code Sean7, S-E-A-N 7, at MyPillow.com. All right, glad you're with us. Buckle up. We got a hell of a show today. And I mean, this is, you know, I don't take any glee in this. I don't. All we want, all we care about, all we've ever cared about, all that really matters in the end is if we get to the truth. In other words, what is the truth? What happened? How did this all begin? How did this happen in our country, the United States of America? This is not a banana republic. We are a country that is based on the single greatest governing document in the history of man. It's called the United States Constitution. And if we shred that or violate that or abuse the power that is given to those enumerated powers given to very specific people, three branches of government, our judiciary being one and the other being, you know, we have our representatives and, of course, the executive branch, legislative branch, judicial branch. And if we don't get to the bottom of it, which is now happening, we won't have a country. It's that serious. We have had 99.9999999% of this rage, hate, Trump media mob. They have literally been the extension of this new extreme radical socialist democratic party in this country. They have been in sync. They even share talking points. Manufactured crisis at the border. Everybody with a brain can figure out, and any ounce of common sense can figure out what's happening at the border is serious. That doesn't matter. You can see it is transparent that they don't care when they champion, I believe, but only against Republicans, bludgeon Kavanaugh for something alleged to have happened when he was in high school. Mitt Romney cut a kid's hair. You know, he had application binders of women's resumes. Okay, he wanted to hire women. But then ignore serious, real allegations of rape and violent sexual assault by a Democrat, the lieutenant governor of Virginia. But I don't want to digress here. So we have now had 2 days of information come to us. We had William Barr testifying before the House Appropriations Committee today, and he went before the Senate Committee today, and then we had part one of James Baker, who was the chief counsel, the general counsel of the FBI under Jim Comey. And then we had we have another closed door meeting that was released thanks to Congressman Doug Collins. Let me start with the testimony, though, of William Barr before the Senate today. And you're going to see in the days, the weeks, the months ahead. And you're going to say, well, why does it take so long? I don't know. The wheels of justice churn ever so slowly. You know, while everybody in the media with their tinfoil hat conspiracies that they have pushed this Trump-Russia collusion narrative now for over 2.5 years, beginning in July of 2016. And we now have four separate confirmations, reports, investigations that have all concluded the same thing. There is no Trump campaign, Russia collusion. What about Manafort? Okay, Manafort was taxes and loan applications. Farrah Acht had nothing to do with his time with Trump. What about Michael Cohen? Okay, taxi medallions and lying to Congress. Nothing to do whatsoever with the mandate, any evidence of any collusion with anybody. Now, what really broke today that has both the media and Democrats freaking out is that the Attorney General of the United States of America today confirmed, yes, that which we have been telling you is going on for a long time. And that is, and Senate Democrats, Jerry Nadler, are in full, complete meltdown mode. Oh, and as I look at the news channels, let's see, Democrats, they're talking about the Democratic plan for health care. And they're talking about Donald Trump's taxes on another channel. That's not the news today. They're avoiding the news today. They don't want to admit to their audiences how wrong they have been, the lies they have told, the hysteria they have pushed. You know, it's breathless coverage day after day, minute after minute, hour after hour, week after week, month after month, lying with these tinfoil hat conspiracy theories. You know, basically feeding on themselves, most often starting with anonymous sources. And they've been wrong. And what the damage, it's irreparable harm. Journalism is dead. They're not news networks. We have done more investigative reporting with our ensemble cast. I do not take all the credit here. We've done it mostly on my shows, but the Greg Jarrett's and the John Solomons and the David Schoens and the Sidney Powells and Sarah Carter, I can't name everybody, but there's not a lot of us. There's not. There wasn't. Or my colleagues, you know, on the few of them on Fox that stayed with the story, Tucker, Laura, Fox and Friends, or the great one, Mark Levin, Rush Limbaugh, they've gotten it. They're on it. But we have been unpeeling the layers. Here's what Barr said today. Under questioning from an angry Democrat, Jeanine Shaneen, Barr confirmed, yes, the Obama administration conducted a spying operation against the Trump campaign. Well, now all hell's breaking loose.
So you're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred?
I don't. I guess you could. I think there's a spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Well, let me.
But the question is whether it was adequately predicated. And I'm not suggesting it wasn't adequately predicated, but I'd need to explore that. I think it's my obligation. Congress is usually very concerned about intelligence agencies and law enforcement agencies staying in their proper lane. And I want to make sure that happened. We have a lot of rules about that.
Yeah, we do. And laws about that. How is it? First story we ever broke, Solomon and Carter. Broke it on Hannity, March of 2017. So been over 2 years. 350% increase in unmasking requests in the final year of the Obama administration. Interesting. That's only a small part of it. Yeah, I think spying on a political campaign is a big deal. Barr said, adding that the Vietnam War generation in which he grew up was very concerned about spying on anti-war Americans by the government. Remember the government spied on Martin Luther King Jr.? That happened. That shouldn't happen in America. Should not have happened in America. And he says he told the truth. He thinks spying did occur. The question is whether it was adequately predicated, and I think it's my obligation. Congress is usually very concerned with intelligence agencies and law enforcement agencies staying in their proper lane. In other words, we give them the most powerful tools of intelligence, and they're not allowed to weaponize them on the American people. They're to be used to protect the American people. And the Constitution protects the rights of Americans not to be spied on this way. And when you go before, you know, This is where this is all headed. The evidence now is overwhelming and incontrovertible. Hillary Clinton's investigation was rigged. In other words, and with the new testimony, which I'll go over, James Baker, the top lawyer, general counsel, FBI under Comey, yes, thought she should be indicted. With the, you know, what we pointed out from his testimony yesterday. Yes, classified, top secret, special access programming information, marked as such, was on that server in the mom and pop bathroom closet. 18 USC 793. We've identified a whole host of felonies she committed. If you want everyone that's saying, well, there might be some evidence of obstruction in the Mueller report, you think the Democrats and liberals in the media care about obstruction? If they did, there's no bigger slam dunk case than somebody that takes subpoenaed emails, deletes them, has, we now know the exact date they acid washed Hillary's hard drive at the Platte Rivers Network, so that they can't recover them forensically. You didn't bleach bit it. They'd still be there. And then, of course, have an aide bust up your Blackberries and your iPhones with hammers and pull out the SIM cards. And he says, and the Barr says it did happen. Now, Nadler, oh, he's freaking out, sounding like a man whose impeachment dreams have gone up in smoke today. Congressman Nadler got into a full meltdown mode after, in fact, this was confirmed by the attorney general that spying did occur. And anyway, Nadler suggested he was misled. He's demanding answers. These comments directly contradict what the DOJ previously told us. Yeah, the DOJ lied to you then. The evidence is overwhelming, except nobody wants to see it. Now you have a wall. And the media, they don't want to have to admit that they've been wrong with their conspiracy theories. And as a result, Jennifer Rubin, you know, is now calling for the attorney general to be impeached. Now they want another witch hunt. And by the way, thankfully, a judge denied a request for immediate release of the Mueller report. You cannot give up sources and methods. You can't do that. You know, we do have enemies. By the way, I gave a full, complete roadmap. You want to make sure that Vladimir Putin, a hostile actor on the world stage, and Russia, a hostile regime on the world, we can beat them. Easy. We just outproduce them with oil and gas. And we offer it to other countries at cheaper prices. That's how we're going to win that battle. Now, in this testimony today, they went over unlawful surveillance of U.S. citizens. They went over Page, McCabe, Rod Rosenstein's discussion to record President Trump. They went through the timing of how the special counsel aligns with the firing of Comey. They went through Rod Rosenstein, McCabe, Page, all planning to record President Trump. And we have all of this now in detail. They were seriously considering doing that. They have, you know, Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan, you see in these interviews, were amazing. They were spectacular. You know, were they trying to remove the president from office? We have that answer. We have Baker never followed up to see whether Rosenstein moved forward with the plan to wiretap the president. What was that plan? You know, who were the people that the two people they said supported the 25th Amendment? You know, or the conversations about the special counsel appointment, the same people who suggested the wiretap and the 25th Amendment. In other words, a cabal, an attempted coup. Not by a lot of people, but they were certainly the most powerful. Not rank and file. You know, and McCabe and the FBI knew about what Rod Rosenstein was doing. Here's what's going to happen. Real quick. You're going to see everything that we have been telling you now begin to happen. It's taken a long time. Some of you have doubted. Some of you have wondered. Some of you have said, yeah, you keep... I never said when. I said it's going to happen. We're now going to get criminal referrals. We now have an attorney general that has opened an investigation into all of this. We are expecting the Horowitz report on FISA abuse. That will be devastating. Uber report on leaking. Then we have the FISA applications themselves, Gang of Eight material, 302s, and real issues about how an investigation into one presidential candidate was rigged. so that that candidate could win, as she should, 100 million to zero, and not let the smelly Walmart people vote in Donald Trump. It's all going to be revealed, and there will be indictments, and there will be convictions. That's my prediction today. Smoking is not about politics. It's about people. There are 34 million Americans that smoke. But for me, Juul was a game changer, because you switch to Juul, it's simple, it's satisfying, and no more smell. I watch people all the time. They run outside in the freezing cold, can be grabbing their cigarette. Well, with Juul, you'll take a quick puff and you're good. That's it. Now, Juul is designed with smokers in mind. From its form to technology, it's easy to use, no buttons, no switches. And the goal of Juul is to impact the lives of adult smokers by providing a satisfying alternative. Switch to Juul. You'll wish you had done it a long time ago. To discover the smoking alternative that is nothing like any e-cig vape you have ever tried, go to this website, juul.com/switch America. That's juul.com/switch America. Warning, this product contains nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. juul.com/switch America. We've been telling you, it's been happening, and it is now confirmed. I want to go through, though, Baker's testimony in detail. Give you, you know, with now William Barr saying what he said. All right, Devin Nunes will have the beginning of the criminal referrals. All of those will now be investigated seriously, with, I think, a lot of evidence. That's eight to start, more coming. Then we have Barr now saying that, yeah, he confirmed that the Obama administration spied on the Trump campaign. That brings into play people like Clapper, Brennan, Susan Rice, the attorney general. Remember, it was Page and Strzok that, again, in closed-door testimony said, yeah, we didn't have any power to make any decisions, and that the investigation into Hillary was rigged by Democrats and by the attorney general. Yeah, the same one that met on the tarmac with Bill Clinton and said to James Comey, it's not an investigation, it's a matter. Then we have the Horowitz report, the Hoover report. More closed-door testimony with more revelations, FISA applications, Gang of Eight materials, 302s. It is now beyond an abuse of power. Now it's about accountability. I'll explain when we get back. I want to remind you, too, if you're an unhappy timeshare owner, you went on a vacation, you're having the time of your life, somebody says you can duplicate this every year for the rest of your life, and then you never end up going back. And then you realize there are other nice places I could go, too, and I could better use that money. But every year you got to pay the maintenance fees and whatever other fees associated with it. You wish you never did it. Well, there's a way out, thanks to my friends at Lone Star Transfer, Brian and Karen. They run a family-owned business. They will make sure that you're experience is a pleasant one. They will get you out of your timeshare legally, ethically, and quickly. I have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and this is what they do. Don't let another year go by and you're paying all this money for a timeshare you're never going to use. Now, two ways to get them. Online at LoneStarTransfer.com, all right? Or give my friends a call, no obligation. Call #250 on your mobile, keyword timeshare. Just hit #250 on your mobile phone, say the keyword timeshare, or just go to LoneStarTransfer.com. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. So this is now the boomerang that I told you would happen last year, and the boomerang I told you was coming this year. You know, you have a top FBI lawyer, the top one, James Baker, you know, in new testimony, which I'm going to go through in some detail, on top of Barr saying today, the attorney general, the Obama administration spied on the Trump campaign. Everything we've been reporting. And I just want to go back, and this is not a, I don't like that any of this happened. I've told you my deep respect for the FBI. The FBI is the world's premier law enforcement agency. Law enforcement is, frankly, in my DNA. I don't know if many of you have family members that are in law enforcement, but I have a lot, a ton of them. My mom, a prison guard, my dad, family court, probation. One point in my life, I nearly became a police officer in New York City. My cousins, a ton of them. Two were deity. Two, we had two guys in the family. My grandfather's brother's sons, two from the same family, They were FBI special agents. They were deity. We talked about them like that, as they deserved. You know, I'm wearing an FBI flag pin every night on TV because to show solidarity with the 99.9%. Some of my Secret Service friends are saying, really? You took off our pin for them? They have a little intramural competition within law enforcement. So, you know, in this testimony, we had part one yesterday of James Baker, thanks to Congressman Doug Collins of Georgia. You know, today, part two, Baker admitting that he and other senior FBI officials wanted the appointment of a special prosecutor to investigate President Trump even before Trump fired James Comey. Before today, we'd all been told about the 8 days in May that it was Comey's firing, that was the one and only reason, even though Comey under oath admitted he could be fired for any reason or no reason at all. He served at the pleasure of any president he worked for. And that Rod Rosenstein is up to his eyeballs in everything, as I pointed out many times before. But the only reason he did, that we were told that's the only reason, after the firing of Comey, that's not true. Because in this new testimony behind closed doors, it's only a fraction of what's about to come. James Baker said top officials at the Justice Department and FBI discussed appointing the special counsel before Comey was fired. Mark Meadows told Baker, we now have evidence that would suggest that a special prosecutor was being discussed prior to the firing of Director Comey. And he said the information came from the Justice Department official Bruce Orr's notes, where he was having conversations about a special prosecutor in March of 2017. Well, the firing was in May of 2017. Meadows asked Baker, did you have conversations prior to the firing of Comey about a special prosecutor? Baker, to the best of my recollection, the topic came up, but I don't remember a specific conversation sitting here today about it, but I remember it coming up. He said he couldn't remember why it was mentioned as a possibility. What would be the conflict of you all continuing your investigation? Meadows asked. Baker said, well, I think it was as the Russia investigation was moving forward and interactions that the president was having with Director Comey, and it was sort of on the margins of some type of conversation. I don't remember who said it, quite honestly, but I'm telling you, the topic did come up before the firing under questioning from Jim Jordan. By the way, these two are rock stars in all these interviews. Now that we're seeing what was going on. Remember how many times I'd have Jordan and Meadows on the program and I'd say, all right, is there anything that I'm saying here that's wrong? Because I knew they couldn't tell me things. Nope. Am I over the target? Yep. Because we were using our sources. Many phone calls, me and my team and all the sources by all our ensemble cast were making a lot. Oh, well, Hannity, you're a talk show host. You only give opinion. No, we do investigative reporting. We do real reporting, too. We do it all. And anyway, so Jim Jordan, Baker revealed he was unable to recall specifically who had the conversation about the appointment of the special counsel, but it was a passing conversation that could have been with Director Comey and with Deputy Director McCabe and some other senior leaders. When pressed by Jordan on why Baker was discussing obstruction of justice and a special counsel prior to Comey's firing, well, Baker's attorney intervened saying, well, we'll have to instruct the witness not to respond to a question that specific that pertains to special counsel ongoing investigative efforts. We didn't get that. Now, there is a timeline here about Barr. And, you know, the attorney general goes before the Senate committee today, the Appropriations Committee, and of course, they don't want to talk about appropriations at all. Doesn't know if Robert Mueller supported his conclusion. He says, doesn't know if Robert Mueller supported the conclusion that the special counsel's report had insufficient evidence to establish Trump obstructed justice. The comment came as Chris Van Hollen asked Barr whether he agreed with Mueller's assessment that there were difficult issues of the law. Barr refused to answer Van Hollen's question several times, saying that he would say more when the report was out. Barr said in the summary, Mueller did not reach a conclusion. Barr said that he and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein decided the evidence was insufficient. There you go. He said a redacted version of timeline, et cetera, et cetera. All right, let me go through this, what we have today. So but we've had the testimony now of Paige Struck, Nellie Bruce Orr, John McCain, Precep, FBI guy, Bill Precep. And now we have part two of James Baker today. For example, let's go to the surveillance issue of U.S. citizens reported to the FBI in 2016. Anyway, with regard to Mr. Klayman coming to visit you, was it with regard to all the surveillance concerns that he had concerning the general fact pattern that we're here to discuss today? Well, it had to do with surveillance. It had to do with an allegation about unlawful surveillance, but it was, I believe, different from any fact pattern that we talked about the last time here. Anyway, unlawful surveillance of whom? Again, this is Jim Baker, James Baker, the number one lawyer, the special counsel, the top lawyer at the FBI under Comey. He says, well, of Americans, including government officials. Yeah, I can go. I mean, and then Jordan steps in. Who was the client? He says, I'm turning to the Bureau to describe this. So his client was an individual named Dennis, I won't mention the guy's name, although it's out there, who I believe, to the best of my recollection, he said that the U.S. government contractor and in the course of his work had come across evidence of unlawful surveillance by the government of Americans, including, U.S. government officials, and wanted to give that information to the FBI, which eventually did take place. Jordan asked, I'm sorry, go ahead. He goes, during what period? He says, to the best of my recollection, that was in the late summer, early fall of 2016. Surveillance by whom? By the U.S. government itself of Americans. Do you understand what the general counsel is saying here? Committee, sensitive, unlawful. Everything we told you about illegal surveillance, unmasking, the leaking of law intelligence, he's confirming it. Then it was, Jordan asked, well, when did you talk to Lisa Page and Andy McCabe about the meeting they had with Rod Rosenstein? He said, I don't remember the particular date. I believe it was shortly after they met with the deputy attorney general. And this was in the days immediately after Comey was fired, which I'm drawing a blank on right now. Jordan says, okay, is it your understanding there were multiple meetings that Mr. McCabe, Page, Rosenstein had about the potential recording of the president? I know they had multiple meetings with the deputy attorney general discussing a lot of things in the immediate aftermath of the firing, and I don't specifically remember how many times this was discussed. Jordan asked, so to be clear, the firing of Comey took place May 9th, 2017, and then the hiring of the special counsel May 17th. So these numerous meetings and the one you had with Mr. McCabe and Ms. Page took place between the 9th and 17th? I believe that's correct. And wrote, then it goes on. Jordan says, when they presented to you their collection of their recalling to you what took place in the meeting with Rod Rosenstein about the 25th Amendment recording the president, says, yeah, I took it seriously because my assessment was they took it seriously. And then Jordan then says, okay, what did you do then? We got the deputy, got the acting director, McCabe, of the FBI, and Lisa Page, who's been intricately involved in the case, in the Trump-Russia case, and now the FBI general counsel all taking it seriously that Mr. Rosenstein said he was going to record the president. And then he says, so I'm trying to be clear and not confusing. I apologize. I believe that Andy told me about the conversation about wearing a wire. I think separately, Lisa Page told me about it. And then Jordan asked, so these are just conversations in the hall? Did they stop by your office? He says, I believe in Andy's office. Well, then it makes sense because then it gets into the whole insurance policy issue. Like they talked about with, as we knew at the time, was McCabe, although they didn't say it. And then he says, well, did anyone do any type of legal analysis? He says, to my recollection, we didn't do any legal research. Seriously consider recording the president after Comey's firing. Mark Meadows follows up. So you say that this was one of several things the team discussed after Comey's firing. Discussed to do what? I guess my question is, was the feeling the president needed to be removed from office? I mean, what were the other things? Is there a list, a litany, long items you discussed? Congressman Meadows at the time will instruct the witness not to answer. His lawyer steps in. I anticipate you will ask us to seek clarity from our chain of command in reference to this question. Baker never followed up on whether or not Rod Rosenstein moved forward. The plan was for Rod Rosenstein to wear a wire. Baker, my understanding was the deputy attorney general. The idea was the DAG would wear the wire. That's Rod Rosenstein. And it was discussed before the firing of James Comey. They hated Trump, the deep state. How many times we talk about the deep state abusing power? A deep state coup. FBI, AG, Department of Justice, they rig an investigation. Yeah, he thought Hillary should have been indicted, but he was outvoted by everybody else. But he's the top lawyer at the FBI. Have conversations about the special counsel go on and on. Conversations over and over again about the use of the 25th Amendment. McCabe, the FBI, knew about Rod Rosenstein's plan. Well, when are they going to get maybe a warrant to do such a thing to the president of the United States? You know, Meadows grilled him on whether or not Rosenstein reached out to the cabinet members himself on the issue of the 25th Amendment. And they talk about the page struck text. And Jordan says, well, you know, Mr. Comey gets fired. We now have a text message from struck to page. We've got to open the case now while Andy is acting. Sure looks like we're talking about an obstruction of justice investigation. Would you agree with that? Baker, I'm confused. I think it looks like as though they were talking about opening an obstruction investigation. That's what I interpret. Jordan says an obstruction based on the fact the president fired Comey. He says, yes, in addition to other things. They don't like this president. He was the smelly Walmart people's president. You know, one of the irredeemable deplorables. One of the, you know, people that cling to God, guns, religion. FBI surveilling American citizens. Yeah, Meadows asked that question. You know, was it a common practice for the FBI to surveil individuals without their knowledge, U.S. citizens, tape them for investigative purposes with confidential human sources? He said, well, it is an approved investigative technique under the Attorney General guidelines, internal FBI policy to allow that to occur with appropriate predication and appropriate approvals. I can't remember the specific approvals. Then again, community sensitive, redacted. Anyway, then it goes on, George Papadopoulos and the FISA warrant. Were you involved in the FISA applications? Yes. Oh, all right. The Russia counterintelligence opened up in this particular case and Page and Papadopoulos. Baker, well, I don't know whether the country of origin, that person had publicly disclosed, but the information had to do with Papadopoulos. Yes. How did we get to this point? Well, there have been a conversation about all this. And the Trump officials, campaign officials, FISA warrant question. You can't answer that right now. As to whether or not individuals connected directly or indirectly with the Trump campaign had a FISA warrant placed on them. Took no action to report Rod Rosenstein for what his actions were. Why didn't he report this to the executive branch? I didn't because I didn't think the suggestion, you know, though it was operationally a bad idea, I didn't think it was an illegal concept. Why did no one report this to the AG? No, I didn't tell the AG. I believe he recused himself by that point. This is all news today. We don't get to the bottom of this. We don't have a country. That's it. The rule of law, our system of justice, equal application of our laws, equal justice under the law, the constitutional protections under our law, they're shattered, shredded. They're gone. All right, we'll continue on the other side.
This process is going along very well, and my original timetable of being able to release this by mid-April stands. And so I think that from my standpoint, within a week, I will be in a position to release the report to the public, and then I will engage with the chairman of both judiciary committees about that report and about any further requests that they have.
And then we have the sitting in the hot seat now 2 days in a row, the Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr, first testimony since the end of the Russia probe, showing that, well, there's a new sheriff in town. The rule of law is about to be followed. The Constitution means something again. Those that have abused their power will be held accountable. And even going as far as today as saying, he confirmed the Obama administration spied on the Trump campaign, something we brought up, and I'll get to this in a second. We've known for years this is all coming. This week we'll get criminal referrals for 8 people, but more are coming after that. We have Barr now saying that he is going to be doing and conducting an investigation. You know, and he couldn't be any more clear both yesterday and today, you know, that his review is now distinct, far more reaching even than the IG Horowitz and his investigation of FISA abuse. It's going to go a lot further than that. And it's going to probably end up where I said it all started, with a rigged investigation into Hillary Clinton, especially in light of James Baker's testimony and the things that we revealed yesterday. We now know the exact date that Hillary had her secret server in a mom and pop bathroom closet, acid washed with bleach bit. And then, of course, the Office of Inspector General has a pending investigation of the FISA process, the Attorney General said, in the Russia investigation. I expect that will be complete in probably May or June, I am told. And he explained, giving the first answer. So hopefully we'll have some answers from the Inspector General Horowitz on this, on the issue of the FISA warrants. And he said, more generally, I am reviewing the conduct of the investigation, trying to get my arms around all aspects of the counterintelligence investigation that was conducted during the summer of 2016. Clear indication, this is what's to come. We'll start with criminal referrals this week. What Barr just announced yesterday, a full investigation of all of this, Horowitz's report on FISA abuse, and I believe even other things that have now come into his purview. Same thing with the Huber report on leaking and other matters. We'll have the release, as we've now had 2 days in a row, the general counsel of the FBI under Comey, James Baker. I just went through the last hour. His testimony shocks the conscience. Then we'll get the FISA applications, as the president said to me exclusively on my TV show last week. Yeah, we're going to get a week and a half ago. We're going to get all the FISA applications. The bulk of information, the Grassley, Graham, Nunes memos tell us come from the Clinton bought and paid for unverified Russian dossier with Russian lies. Then we'll get the 302s. And of course, we'll get to the whole issue of insurance policies, how that dossier was used to, well, first stop a candidate that they saved from indictment, you know, the favored candidate that should win $100 million to $0, and then used to bludgeon a president-elect and destroy a duly elected president. All of this is now going to be coming cascading down on them. You know, all these people, well, maybe there's a sentence or two that we can hang our hat on. Maybe Mueller, you know, maybe it was obstruction of justice. Well, if you really care about obstruction of justice, you'll talk about Hillary Clinton's 33,000 deleted emails. We now know the date of the acid wash of the hard drive and the busted up devices with hammers and removal of SIM cards. Anyway, investigative reporter, you know, when you look at all of these issues and you look at William Barr confirming the Obama administration spied on the Trump campaign today, it makes investigative reporter John Solomon's column yesterday, the single sentence Russia bombshell that the attorney general delivered to Congress, even more powerful. Sounds to me like all the things that we began, and you are at the very beginning of this, you and Sarah Carter, about the surveillance, the 350% increase in unmasking in the last year of the Obama administration, leaking of raw intelligence. John Solomon, how are you?
I'm doing well, and I think today's statements by Attorney General William Barr are even more dramatic than the ones he made yesterday, which were pretty darn important and upon which I wrote that first column. He said today, I don't care what other people are saying, spying on the Trump campaign did occur. He stopped using all the euphemisms of the Brennans and Comeys and Clappers and called it what it was. The United States intelligence apparatus spied on a sitting presidential nominee's campaign. And that's the first time we've had a person in power use the right terminology for what we all knew it was. But more importantly, he said his review would not only focus on the FBI's conduct, it would focus on other intelligence agencies. The first hint that there may have been spying that occurred involving Trump and Russia that go beyond the FBI, the FISA, Pete Stroke, and all the things that we know of Christopher Steele. That was a big clue to us. And I've been hearing, and I've said on your show many times, Sean, I feel very confident that the FBI case, the Russia collusion case, didn't begin on July 31st, 2016, the date that Pete Stroke signed the
2016,
official case
file. Yeah.
I think it began much earlier in this spring of 2016 in a series of actions that probably involved the CIA and the FBI and foreign intelligence-friendly agencies in places like London or Italy, where we clearly have allies.
Or Australia.
And Australia, we know clearly. Those are the three that I think most jump out. We've talked about it so much, but to have the Attorney General finally sort of acknowledge that this was more than just an FBI operation. And I think the other thing is the Democrats were, wrestling with him, and he very subtly but very powerfully reminded the Democrats there used to be a time when Democrats cared of the FBI spying on political campaigns and political efforts. It used to be in the 60s. And remember, when all you guys were upset about that, you should be upset about this just as much. I thought that was such a powerful turning moment in the conversation today. But I think for the first time, we are going to get that comprehensive review that so many people have been calling for. And I think we're going to learn a lot of ugly details. And I think a lot of those people who made money on books, the Comeys and others, are going to have a lot more discomfort over the next few months.
I think it's more than discomfort. I see it. Look, if we really go through this and we do it objectively, I think we can say the following. That, in fact, the FBI and the DOJ, as a matter of fact, Strzok and Page acknowledged that the investigation into Hillary's server was rigged. It was run out of the AG's office at the time. That would be Loretta Lynch, right? What did she know? When did she know it? And that and they wrote the exoneration in May of 2016 before they ever interviewed her or 17 key witnesses. So it was a rigged investigation. Then you got the acknowledgement by James Baker that, yeah, he thought Hillary should have been indicted for the Espionage Act. You know, all these Democrats upset about obstruction of justice, and maybe there's a nugget in the Mueller report, even though it didn't rise to the level of obstruction, based on Rosenstein and on the Attorney General Barr. They don't seem to care about the obstruction of Hillary Clinton. They don't seem to care that there was Russia collusion, and that would be one campaign funneling money to a law firm, to an op research firm, to a foreign national that put together a series of documents that is now commonly referred to as the dossier that became the basis of a FISA warrant to spy on an opposition party candidate, even though Bruce Orr's testimony said, don't trust it. She paid for it. It's not verified. Now we know unverifiable because Steele doesn't stand by it. And they then used it months later in the FISA application by committing a clear fraud against the FISA court. Am I right so far?
You are right. You are absolutely right.
And then they turned it into a weapon to bludgeon as an insurance policy a duly elected president.
Yep, that's exactly the narrative that the facts now support. And it took a long time to get those facts out into the open, but they're out there now. And I think now you have the sort of supervision at the Justice Department where real accountability and real clarity can finally be meted out. And I think that when we're done, we're going to find out that this was a multi-agency effort that started earlier, probably as the Clinton email scandal was being wrapped up in a nice bow by James Comey and Loretta Lynch. And then it was designed to change the topic in America from Hillary Clinton's transgressions to what turned out to be a false narrative of Russia-Trump collusion. And I think it's going to involve other foreign powers. I think you're going to find out Ukraine was involved. I think we've been able to begin the documentation and process of that. It's a complicated story, but I think at the end of the day, the real storyline is our U.S. intelligence agencies, our law enforcement agencies were used to carry out a political dirty trick to delegitimize a duly nominated nominee and then duly elected president. And that is something that should concern us all, whether we're Republican, Democrat, Independent. It's a very, very ugly story.
You know, if it wasn't for the likes of you and Greg Jarrett and Sarah and Sidney Powell, Joe DiGenova, Victoria Tunsing, you know, Alan Dershowitz not investigating, but confirming the law, what the legality of these things are. There wasn't a lot of us, was there?
There wasn't. And, you know, your show was an important bullhorn when the rest of the media wouldn't pay attention to our stories. And we're grateful for that. And I think there's another group of people as well. Let's keep in mind there were four or five members of Congress who went against their own leadership, their own Ryan.
Devin Nunes, Jim Jordan,
yep.
Mark Meadows.
Yeah. Yep. Chuck Grassley.
Right.
It's a remarkable group, and it was their determination.
Lindsey Graham, too.
Yeah. Lindsey Graham. Those four or five people really made a huge difference in getting, fighting to get access to the truth and then helping. You know, we as reporters could then put it together and do our reporting. But it was people forget how much resistance there was and how much emotion there was against anyone who dare go against the narrative. And we're very fortunate today that the facts prevailed. And I think there's a lot more facts to that. Our work is not done. We have another year or two of unraveling this onion, as I think you've called it many times, peeling it back even further.
Do you remember that conversation, by the way, when we first really got to know each other as we were beginning this in March of, 2017, I think we began?
I was up in New York, and I was about to walk off your set, and you looked over me and said, please don't stop peeling this onion, and I never forgot that. And it was less than 2 weeks after that, Sean, that I showed up in my home after preparing on one of your shows, and there were two gentlemen outside my mailbox at 11 o'clock at night in a blue sedan government car that came up to me and said, we just saw you on Hannity. We want to let you know that there's some bad things that happened, and this is the first time. This is before we knew Steele, right, knew any of these things. They said, our intelligence agencies were used for a political opposition research project. You have to get to the truth. And it was those two moments that set us on this long journey.
Well, stay right there. I want you to look into your crystal ball when we get back. None of this would have happened without people like John and Greg and Victoria and Joe. I'm going to miss people's names. So please, if I'm missing it, don't get mad. It's not on purpose. Everybody that participated, you know, you guys deserve Pulitzer Prizes. You know, hell will freeze over. But all right, a lot to get to today. We will talk to Congressman Tom Graves, and he was with the Attorney General Barr yesterday. Congress is now flipping out that Bill Barr, the Attorney General, confirming today the Obama administration spied on the Trump campaign. John Solomon, investigative reporter, one of many, many people who part of our ensemble cast. Well, there wasn't a lot of us, but that we wouldn't be where we are today, I don't think, because of their great reporting and hard work. Where is this going? What do you see happening and how quickly?
Yeah, I think there are five seminal moments coming ahead. The first is when the president declassifies all the documents that show what the FBI was telling the court versus what they knew. And I think at that point we will see a gap in evidence that will raise some very, very serious concerns about the fairness of the investigation. I think the IG report will come out, and we'll see what the IG says about the FISA abuses. Very important. Bill Barr will almost certainly announce what he found in his review. That'll be another very important seminal moment. We're waiting for a Florida court to release a deposition and series of documents that come from Christopher Steele. We may learn a lot more about who Christopher Steele was talking to, what information he was giving, and who in the Clinton campaign knew. And then something that could happen as early as next week. We should keep an eye on this. I believe Ukrainian authorities are preparing to transmit some information to a prominent American to get to the Justice Department that will acknowledge, Ukraine will formally acknowledge, it attempted to interfere in the 2016 election on behalf of Hillary Clinton, perhaps in concert with some of her supporters or campaign aides. So those are five things to watch. I think all of them are very important and will move this narrative very much forward.
Quickly remind our audience in 30 seconds the five buckets of material you talk about. One, obviously, was the declassification, FISA warrants, 302s,
right.
Gang of Eight, and the other two, or six you have.
There's an FBI series of emails that show the FBI knew that Steele was on the Clinton campaign dole and had been talking to media before they submitted the first FISA. That's a very big, important one. And then a series of documents that are attached to the Gang of Eight briefing that show the FBI's own review found serious deficiencies with their investigation.
Why is that not been released? All right, John Solomon, investigative reporter, you've been amazing. Well, he was with Attorney General Barr yesterday, Congressman Tom Graves, Bill O'Reilly coming up, your call's coming up. Wow, what a Hannity we have tonight at 9.
But let's start the process of thinking through that.
You mean in the event that
if you're successful in this lawsuit that you're supporting and the entire Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act is struck down, millions of Americans who currently receive health insurance coverage under the law are at risk of losing that coverage. Am I correct in that?
I think the president has made clear that he favors not only pre-existing conditions, but would like action on a broad health plan. So he is proposing a substitute for Obamacare.
The one that's going to come after the next election, you mean?
The one that will come down if and when.
Well, let me be the one to inform you, should the law be struck down, millions of people who get their coverage through the ACA marketplace would lose their coverage. And tens of millions more would see their premiums skyrocket. In addition, if you're successful, 12 million people nationally and 750,000 people in my home state of Pennsylvania who have coverage under the Medicaid expansion would also likely lose that coverage. Am I correct in that, sir?
Do you think it's likely we are going to prevail?
If you prevail, well, you're devoting scarce resources of your department toward that effort, are you not, Attorney General?
We're in litigation. We have to take a position.
The answer is yes.
We take position in litigation.
You're trying to get it invalidated, and if you succeed, that many people will lose their coverage nationally from Medicaid and 750,000 from Pennsylvania alone, right?
I'm just saying that if you think it's such an outrageous position, you have nothing to worry about. Let the courts do their job.
He's not going to. I mean, we will certainly. We get the report, I assume, at the end of this week, beginning next week. Yeah. If INTA doesn't have everything that we require to do our work, which is to say the entire report and the underlying evidence in it, we will issue subpoenas forthwith, and we will have to go to and we will go to court to ask for a release of the 6E material. Now, it's unfortunate that he won't join us. Previous attorney generals have joined the Congress in that request in every similar case. And I suppose my conclusion is that he regards his job as working as an attorney for the president personally, not for the government.
Barr seemed to put the ball in your court in terms of asking for the grand jury information. Is that something you would do?
Oh, absolutely, we're going to do that.
I mean, you as the House of Representatives,
yes,
asking the court for that.
Well, the Judiciary Committee on behalf of the House, we were empowered to do that. We would subpoena that, and we were empowered to do that by that resolution the Judiciary Committee passed a week or two ago.
One other thing on that.
What?
He kept saying, show me the grounds in which Chairman Nadler can actually do that. What are the specific grounds under that statute that you could use to compel, to plead to the judge to actually release that grand jury information? Because he was very cagey on that and suggesting there weren't actually.
Well, there are grounds. We have plenary jurisdiction to look into the conduct of a president, to look into questions of obstruction of justice, and those give us plenty of grounds.
That Gerald Nadler. And by the way, Nadler had a complete and utter meltdown because the Attorney General of the United States today during the hearing had the unmitigated gall to point out what is now obvious to anyone that cares about the truth, and that is that the Obama administration spied on the Trump campaign, which we have gone through in great detail on this program. All right, 24 now till the top of the hour. I'm looking at the attacks now. They cannot handle what is about to occur to them. This is going to rock their world and the media world because everything we've reported on, every single stone we've unturned, every layer of the onion we peeled off is turned out to be more than accurate. and 100% true on this program and on Hannity on TV. Everything the media has told you, everything the Democrats have told you, has been one big, huge, massive witch hunt full of tinfoil hat conspiracy lies. And that house of cards is about to collapse on top of them. Now, I went through the entire list of everything that is about to happen. Now, hopefully there's a line or two in the Mueller report. There was no conspiracy. We had a nine-month FBI investigation. No evidence whatsoever. There's no there to even quote Strzok and Page. After 9 months, they had nothing. That's before the appointment of Mueller. In the interim, we had the Mueller report. No evidence of any Trump-Russia conspiracy. None whatsoever. No obstruction. The Attorney General, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, they concluded it in seconds. But what we do have coming this week are criminal referrals. We now know that the Attorney General Barr will do his job, and he is going to get to the bottom of all of this, including the origins of this, attempted coup in the country, an attempt to influence the election beforehand, and the attempt to get into an opposition party campaign using and abusing the FISA process and not telling FISA court judges, the information was bought and paid for by the other political candidate. I think the judges might have thought that somewhat important, but they withheld that. They omitted that so they could commit their fraud on the court. And then, of course, it was never verified. Now we know it's unverifiable. How do we know that? Because Christopher Steele, he, under oath, said he has no idea if any of this is true, and a lot of it has now since been debunked, like hookers in Russia at the Ritz-Carlton in Trump's room, urinating on his bed. Not true. Didn't happen. Out of that, the media leaked before the election. And, of course, we have the constitutional abuse, Fourth Amendment violation of Carter Page's rights. Carter Page is going to be a very rich man by the time this is all said and done. Because what they did to him, they committed a fraud on the court. They denied him his constitutional rights and shredded the Constitution in the meantime. But we have the criminal referrals coming. Barr's investigation begun. We now have and await the IG's report on FISA abuse. And I'm telling you, the evidence is overwhelming and incontrovertible. Then we have the leak investigation, John Huber and others. And I believe there are spinoff investigations with Huber and with Horowitz. We have again today, which I've gone over in detail, the release of even more closed-door testimony. We have the FISA applications themselves. The president told me last week he will be releasing them. They will be declassified. Gang of Eight materials, which I'm told will shock the conscience and soul of Americans about the abuse of power. That's coming out. 302 application, that's coming out. Then, of course, there was an attempt. There was collusion. It was bought and paid for Russian lies to favor one candidate after that candidate had a rigged FBI DOJ investigation when obvious crimes were committed and obstruction committed. Obstruction, you need intent. We now know from today's record that, the chief counsel of the FBI thought Hillary should be indicted. Nobody in the news talking about that today. Let me see. I'm looking at the fake news channels. Not one of them talking about it. Amazing. This will come cascading down, and they are going to be exposed and held accountable, which is what I've been telling you. You know how hard it must be for all those fake news people to have to acknowledge yet again Sean Hannity and his team are right again. I'm awaiting my Pulitzer Prize. I'm sure that's coming. Anyway, I'm kidding on that, obviously. Congressman Tom Graves of Georgia is with us. By the way, a lot of great congressmen there. Doug Collins, thank you for what you're doing. Tom Graves, he sits on the House Appropriations Committee. He was part of the hearings that took place yesterday with the Attorney General Barr. Did you get the same feeling that I got, which is, this guy is serious, and, with the big headline, as far as I'm concerned, out of all of this is Barr's statement, you know, not only today, but what he said yesterday, that, you know, faced with an undeniable fact that this collusion is a hoax, and that at the end of the day, what he's going to do is a deep dive into all of this. And I think that when we get to the bottom of it, there's going to be a lot of indictments. What do you think?
Sean, you're absolutely right. I mean, yesterday he was very firm in his responses. He was very resolved in his responses. And what came out of the hearing more than anything is how much in denial the Democrats are at the outcome of the findings of the investigation. And you'll recall you've reported on this so much about how they were defending and protecting Mueller 2 years ago and over the last several months until here recently. And now all of a sudden they want to subpoena him. And, you know, if you think about all the redaction discussion, you know, they want to see the full report, even though it will violate the law. They wanted the attorney general to violate the law by subpoenaing him to provide the report in its totality, of which he cannot do. And he assured us yesterday he would not violate the law. But if there's one thing we know for certain they want to see redacted, if anything, the Democrats want the conclusion redacted, because it is without a doubt no collusion, no obstruction. The story's over. It is done. And they're in denial.
It's more than in denial. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We'll come back more with Thomas Graves, Congressman Graves from Georgia, as we continue the biggest abuse of power corruption scandal ever.
So for the committee, is there anything new you've seen since the review of the entirety of the report that would change your conclusions?
No, Congressman. As I explained, my March 24th letter was meant to state the bottom line conclusions of the report, not summarize the report.
All right, as we continue with Congressman Tom Graves of Georgia, now we begin the process. As I've been saying, all of these other events are all about to happen. And, you know, at the end of the day, do you see those people that abuse power, those people that presented to FISA courts, you know, a political document bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton, the opposition party, a woman who was given a get-out-of-jail-free card and a rigged FBI DOJ investigation because she was the favored candidate that, as one FBI agent said, Peter Strzok, she should win $100 million to zero. And then, interestingly, she funnels money to a law firm, then hires with that money a op research group that hires a foreign spy that produces a dossier full of Russian lies to hurt this other candidate. And that was the basis of all those FISA applications. Are we going to get to the truth on that?
Well, I was really pleased to hear the Attorney General touch on that today, that he's begun that investigation, that look into what started all of this. Because just as you have said, and I know, you know, Jim Jordan, Mark Meadows, myself and others have been saying, we have to get to what started this. Because if it was started with a bunch of lies bought by a political party in order to influence an outcome of an election, and use the power of government to do that, somebody must be held responsible, or persons must be held responsible. This is unacceptable. But in addition to that, now they're going after the president's tax returns, and they refer to it as the president's tax returns, but this is a citizen of the United States. They're using the power of the Ways and Means Committee to request and try to get access to personal tax returns and corporate tax returns and trust revocable trust tax.
Congressman,
returns.
Are we going to empower the IRS to go after our political enemies? I'm sorry, that would be a violation of one's constitutional rights. They have no right to this president's tax returns. No court will grant them that right either.
Right, and they're seeking that out. And we had a debate yesterday as well with the IRS commissioner, as the Democrats were pressing the commissioner on that, to would he release them, was he going to give them to the committee. And obviously we know that this has nothing to do with policy discovery or legislative priorities. This has to do with the attacks of an individual they don't like, they disagree with, and the outcomes of a Mueller investigation. They're going to continue this on and on again, and that's why what you're doing, exposing the truth each and every day, as you've done over the last couple of years, is so helpful, because this is giving us the opportunity to continue keeping the pressure on, and that is that the truth will prevail, and the Democrats are really struggling with the truth they've seen here of late.
Well, you actually had a good tweet yesterday. Seems like the Dems only want to redact the conclusion. That's pretty much accurate. You know, look at the Washington Post. They want to impeach Barr because Barr confirmed that the absolute truth, something we have proven over and over again, and that is that the Obama campaign spied on the Trump campaign.
Right. And I'll point out, you know, one of the questions I asked the attorney general yesterday in the discussion about redactions and such was, after reviewing these 400 pages or so of this report, has his conclusion changed at all? Has anything changed his thought or his conclusion? And he just looked with a smile and said, his initial findings speak for themselves. Nothing has changed. This story's over as far as whether or not the president colluded. Obviously, we know he didn't. There was no obstruction. But now the news story does begin, and that is, who was behind all this in the beginning?
All right, Congressman Graves of Georgia, thank you so much for what you do, and thanks for being with us.
When I talk about a political revolution, I know this may sound radical to some people, but we are going to create an economy and a government that works for all of us, not just the 1%. So to answer your question, we are going to do away with those outrageous loopholes that allow large corporations owned by some of the wealthiest people in this country to pay nothing in taxes. We're going to end their ability to put their money in the Cayman Islands under the tax havens. So what democratic socialism means to me is having, in a civilized society, the understanding that we can make sure that all of our people live in security and in dignity. Healthcare is a human right. All people should have healthcare. You can't get ahead in this country, in this world, unless you have a decent education. We have got to, as a right, end the kinds of discrimination, the racism and the sexism and the homophobia that exist. So to me, when I talk about democratic socialism, what I talk about are human rights and economic rights.
So when I say we, I mean that when we together are in the White House, we are going to create a Medicare for all single payer program. Healthcare is a human right, not a privilege. When we're in the White House, unlike Republicans, we're not going to cut Social Security. We're going to expand Social Security. Elderly people have the right to live out their retirement years in dignity. When we are in the White House, and I'm proud of the role that I've played working with Al, working with many of you, we're going to raise the minimum wage to this country to a living wage, at least $15 an hour. Yes. When we are in the White House, not a radical idea, much less so today than 4 years ago, we're going to make public colleges and universities tuition free. Yes. I want all of our kids, regardless of income, to be able to get a college education, and we're either going to substantially lower student debt or end it completely. And you know, we're going to pay for many of these programs by not giving tax breaks to billionaires and large corporations as Trump does. We're going to tell them that they're going to finally start paying their fair share of taxes. How stupid it is that you got a corporation like Amazon. Anyone here know how much Amazon paid in taxes last year? That's right, not a nickel. Well, that is going to end.
Will these people be able to keep their health insurance plans, their private plans, no, through their employers if there is a Medicare for all program that you endorse?
What will change in their plans is the color of their card. So instead of having a Blue Cross Blue Shield card, instead of having a United Health Insurance card, they're going to have a Medicare card.
All right, that's Bernie Sanders. Glad you're with us. News Roundup, Information Overload Hour. You know, it's funny. We spent all that time. We sent our cameras from TV over to Nancy Pelosi's district. You know, can't be but a mile from the, Waldorf enclave of the rich and famous. She's worth at least $30 million, they say. That's the low side of the estimate. And what do you have? We interview people. They say, well, look at what's around us. We've got feces and we've got needles and homeless people. She can't go to a rich neighbors in their walled off, secluded community and help the people right outside their front door. I've said this so many times. The left, Democrats, socialists are always generous with other people's money, your money. And the fair share, rich don't pay their, excuse me, the rich, quote, top 10% pay 75% of the tax bill in this country. Bottom 50% pay next to nothing. 1%, that's it. Unbelievable. Anyway, joining us now, he is the author of 15 number one best-selling books, his Killing series. He has, of course, the Donald Trump, the United States of Trump coming out in the fall. And, of course, BillO'Reilly.com is where you can find all things Bill O'Reilly. How are you, sir?
I'm the same, Hannity, which is a tragedy, of course.
You know, I told you one story. I've said this on the air before. One time I said, but you want to get a beer? And you said, I don't drink, Hannity. I have no vices. And I said, Bill, if there's two people I've met in life that should have a beer, it's you and Trump. And neither of you drink.
Yeah, Trump doesn't drink either. You know, it's funny. I got a column on BillO'Reilly.com about Bernie Sanders because he's a millionaire twice over. And he is putting his taxes out on Monday. And he goes, well, look, I wrote a best-selling book, so of course I'm a millionaire. Well, I mean, Bernie, I think you should have just given that book away, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Redistribution, right? Why are you charging $30 for your book? I mean, this is wrong. I mean, people, you know, in some places don't have $30. Give it to them.
Let me explain something to everybody, because this is true. Yeah. You live in New York. I live in New York. Okay.
Right.
We don't get the ability to deduct any longer because all of these blue states had a benefit that every low-tax red state didn't have. You can deduct your state and local taxes. That doesn't mean I'm paying more, but I'm happy because why should the red states be subsidizing states like New York and California and rewarding them for electing these high-tax politicians? But so we pay about a 40% federal income tax because we don't get that state deduction. You pay in New York literally another 10% state income tax. That's 50. If you work in New York City, 4% more income tax. That's 54%. Add your sales taxes, the highest property taxes in the country. It's 65 cents of every dollar we pay.
Your fair share. You're not paying your fair share. You're not doing it. Look, it's a big con, and here, if you don't believe me, read the column, but here's the crusher on the column. In the last 2 years, Bernie Sanders has spent, ready, $340,000 on private jets. Oh, wait, where's the Green New Deal? You know what Bernie's Green New Deal is? In his wallet. Wow. That's where his Green New Deal is. So I want to know what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez thinks about Bernie flying around on private jets.
Well, wait a minute, Bill.
$340,000.
We actually did a little investigative reporting on this show and on TV, and we found out that, you know, she has the option of taking Amtrak and the Acela train. I bet you've taken it in your life. I've taken it many times to Washington, D.C. Oh, no, she takes the Delta shuttle.
Well, I'm not worried about her. I'm worried about Sanders, because Sanders is really pushing a very destructive and harmful point of view, and that is that we in America are not prospering economically, when it's just a lie. And if the reason that we have a record jobless rate and the minority communities are benefiting more than anyone and wages are going up is because of the corporate tax cut, which he would abolish immediately, slap on onerous taxes, and then strangle the private economy, Bernie. Now, if you don't have to be a macroeconomic guy to understand that, but he runs around, he doesn't walk the walk, and he does his stuff, and I just don't understand how people can even put up with it anymore. It's insane.
Let me go through the list. Just give me like 45 seconds, and then I want you to go off on all of this. This is what they're proposing, Bill. Number one, he wants prisoners to vote. Medicare for all, but you don't have any more choice or option to have a private plan. Open borders. They want to take down walls, eliminate ICE. They want to eliminate the Electoral College, so New York, New Jersey, and California will pick every president. Then, of course, they want to stack the Supreme Court. They want during and even after, if you listen to the Virginia governor, birth abortion. They want no oil or gas in 10 years. They want to get rid of the combustion engine in 10 years. But you're guaranteed, absolutely guaranteed a job, wages, healthy government food, government health care, government daycare, government college, and in government everything. Then they're going to have a 70% top marginal tax rate for individuals, 90% for corporations. Planes and cows go as soon as possible. And that's what they are selling the American people. Can they pull that off?
No. And whoever the Democratic nominee is going to be isn't going to even try. This is just a madness situation. Most common sense people know that all of this is hysteria because the Democratic Party really doesn't have any problem-solving ability at this point. You know, Barack Obama, you can like him, whatever, but he didn't solve very many problems, did he? Did he solve the ISIS problem? He did not.
Bill,
right?
I'm a broken record. 13 million more Americans.
I know, but I'm appealing to the people who basically,
right,
they're not ideologues. So what did Barack Obama solve? Did he solve the border?
Nope.
Did he solve the economy?
Nope.
Did he solve ISIS? Did he do any of that?
Nope.
No. So it's all about problem solving. But what the Democrats are trying to tell you is that our system, entire system, is rotten and bad and racist and white supremacist and all of this stuff. And I'm telling you, I think there's going to be a ferocious backlash against all this. And you know where it's going to start, Hannity? You know where it's going to start?
You tell me. Where?
May Madness. I've got the brackets. May Madness.
Yeah.
The brackets are who's going to be indicted. Okay? I got Comey. I got McCabe. Mm-hmm. I got Strzok. I got Page. I got Orr. I got three more blank brackets. All right? It's going to be May Madness. It's going to be like the Godfather in the Barzini family on the baptism of Michael Corleone's grandchild.
You're really aging yourself. I understand everything you're saying. Listen, this is what's coming, and I know the media is hoping and praying and hope that they get three lines out of the Mueller report that they will sink their teeth into.
No, but it doesn't matter. Barr tipped it yesterday.
He tipped it again today. He said the Obama administration spied on the Trump campaign. You know, Bill, I've spent 2 years of my life on this. And
I know.
With an
Do you
ensemble.
Have the brackets, though? Do you have the brackets up?
I'll put the brackets up. We'll put Bill O'Reilly's brackets.
Tonight.
Okay.
I want to see Hannity's May Madness brackets.
Here's what we know, though. While they're fixated again, there's been four separate occasions where we have gotten the conclusion, no Trump-Russia collusion. All right. Now, criminal referrals begin this week. There's going to be 8 of them, but more to come. Barr is now confirming that he will look into the FBI abuse, the origins of the investigation into Trump, and said today the Obama administration spied on the Trump campaign. We have the Horowitz report coming. We have the Hoover report coming. We have more closed door testimony like we got today with James Baker saying he wanted to indict Hillary. And then, of course, FISA applications used.
Yeah, you got all of that.
Well, Gang of Eight, 302s, and Joe Biden has a Ukrainian issue.
Here's the linkage to our first conversation. Once that happens, then the whole Democratic Party and its madness on social issues, on stock, on bonds, on taxes, on border, it all crumbles. See, there's a linkage into it.
Agreed.
And that's what's going to happen. It's speculation, but it's educated speculation.
We have built a case while pretty much 99.9% of the media went in one direction. And they've been lying and they've been spinning these tinfoil hat conspiracy theories for years. And meanwhile, while they've been doing that, a whole other narrative has emerged. And that is the irony that there was collusion with Russia. It happened to be Hillary Clinton. They also rigged an investigation into her, the favored candidate. They tried to disseminate the Russian lies to the American people. Then it was used to spy on the Trump campaign, and then it was used as an insurance policy to bludgeon a duly elected president and undo that election.
All of this stuff that you've been reporting on and then others have been reporting on has got to come to fruition, word of the day, fruition, in at least a month. It has to.
I don't know.
And
I can't put a timetable on it, though.
Once it does, then the whole culture shifts. The whole culture war shifts. And all of the left-wing media on television, newspapers, you know, it's not even... Does anybody remember from day to day what bombshell the New York Times had? I don't. I mean, I don't even read it anymore. It's all anonymous sources. But television, those networks are suffering now. Now. And you can imagine what's going to happen when all of their favorite sons got cuffs on. So this is a big thing that people should be preparing themselves for.
This is going to, this is the biggest boomerang, but it's bigger than that. What I've been calling it, and I think we've had it nailed from the beginning, it is the biggest abuse of power, corruption, scandal in American history. And now the rule of law is clearly going to be followed. And those
hopefully,
people that
I mean,
you
it's
mentioned.
All on Barr. Barr has got to step up and be a patriot.
He's got to do his job.
Trump can't do it. Barr's got to do it.
Yeah. All right, Mr. O'Reilly. BillO'Reilly.com is where you can find all things O'Reilly. And, you know, I like when you get mad. I kind of appreciate that.
Yeah, and I want to ride on Bernie's jet. I think you and I should go with
that. I'm with you. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Bill O'Reilly, thank you.
And I think if people bought in at a price they could afford, like 4% of income, that would work. And if you matched it with your employer and you had a choice over the way we wrote Senator Sanders's bill, I got to write the transition piece or work on that piece. We had a buy-in over 4 years. I think most Americans, if you do your number crunching in your own head, 4% of your income, yeah, it's probably less than you're paying now. And people will choose it. I would choose it in a New York minute. And I think if you got to Medicare for all, what you're going to do is have economies of scale, which will bend the cost curve. You'll have all Americans have access to preventive care, which bends the cost curve. And then you need to actually get some costs out by ending fee-for-service, making sure our doctors can work on a continuum of care model like they have at the Mayo Clinic.
Right.
And make sure that you get the price of pharmaceuticals down. That means taking on the drug companies.
This is CNN.
All right, that was from the town hall. By the way, 24 till the top of the hour. Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN is our number. You want to be a part of the program. That was a full hour and 7 minutes last night. Town hall, 2020 hopeful. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. I mean, I can't. I'm looking at the ratings from last night in front of me, and I'm thinking, well, this has to be a mistake. It can't be that bad, but it is that bad. Fake news CNN had under 500,000 viewers for this town hall. 491,000 people. I will call it 500,000. You know, a whopping 115,000 in the demo. We were the thanks to all of you. We always give credit. Our beloved audience, you give us the microphone every day and the camera every day. And we were the number one show on cable by a long shot last night, but almost just shy of 3.2 million. How do you get under 491,000? By the way, Linda's back. Where have you been the last couple of days?
Just getting my nails done, taking a couple days off, you know, relaxing.
Well, you were doing kid stuff, you said. You said you went to a play with your three-year-old.
Yeah, that was actually over the weekend. I took Liam to see Paw Patrol Live.
Paw Patrol?
Paw Patrol Live, kind of an epic fail. So Liam, I think probably for the first 20 minutes of my one-hour experience for my $100 ticket, spent face down in his blanket on my shoulder, hysterically crying that he was scared of the characters on stage because they were too big.
Now, we went to Sesame Street once, like at MSG. It was terrible.
It's just a nightmare. The kids are scared to death. And the woman in front of me literally has a 3.5-year-old just like me. She looks at me. She goes, well, this was a genius plan, huh? I said, absolutely.
Why are they scared of the, because they love it on, I guess, television.
Well, there's two things. One is they're giant. They're huge. I mean, they're bigger than me. These giant, because this show is all about its dogs.
Well, if they're bigger than you, that must be huge.
Very funny. They're larger than life. But yeah, so anyways, all that's in there. And then, you know, you got the music, which is blaring. It's just blaring. And then you got 9 million kids. It's just the whole thing. It's just so much going on.
And the thing is, they make so much money on selling the crap.
Oh, forget about
it.
I bought the
lights.
You have no idea.
The neon necklaces.
I bought this thing. I honest to God couldn't tell you what it is. The Paw Patrol has something called the Lookout.
Yeah.
It basically is like an airport tower. And on the top, it had this thing that's $25. I don't know what it does. My son is infatuated with it. So between the tickets, the parking, and the $25, the half hour we spent, 10 minutes before the show's over, Liam looks at me and he goes, Mama, I'm ready.
He's ready to go home.
I look at him, I go, dude, there's 10 more minutes. Don't you want to see the end?
Did you get him popcorn and cotton candy?
No, I brought my own healthy snacks.
Oh, good. That is awful. That is awful. Now, my sister Teddy, I remember when we were young, actually, I remember we'd go to movies, right? She'd make her own popcorn. I'm like, I don't want your popcorn. I like popcorn from the movie theater. I'm buying my own popcorn. She goes, no, it's much cheaper that way. I'm like, I don't care if it's cheaper. It tastes better when they make it right there hot.
I agree with you. There's something about the experience, but I'm a little weird about what goes in his body, so I bring with me.
My weakness, it was maybe like 3 years ago when
we
I
We know, it's salt.
I got to go to a Ranger game, which I wish I got more time to go to. I was, you know, I grew up playing hockey. And love, I mean, when there's a fight in a hockey game, which is less and less of them, fortunately, because everybody, you should hear Madison Square Garden when a fight breaks out at the Garden. Oh, back in the Flyers. And,
Ethan's a huge, goes to all the games.
Oh, yeah, well, everybody has time to do great vacations. Everyone that works for me goes on these incredible vacations. I have a new employee. She's
My
like been there 6 months. She went to Aruba. I'm like, oh, good. Nice for you. I'm like, when do I get one of these vacations?
That wasn't somebody on the radio staff.
No, that was, you know, Haley from TV. So I'm like, what were you going to say?
My brother-in-law is at every single Ranger game, every single night, on the glass. But you're right. The crowd, when they fight, we were at a playoff game.
They love it.
2 or 3 years ago, and it was 2-5 by the end of the game because there was so much fighting, and the crowd was nuts.
Oh, Ethan, you got to tell the better story, though, about what your brother-in-law wears.
My brother-in-law wears a Trump jersey, and he's known as Joe Trump in all of Madison Square Garden. Yep.
Really?
He has a reputation, dude.
Joe Trump, and it's a Ranger jersey.
It's a Ranger jersey, and it has the CC for Commander-in-Chief on it.
That's hilarious.
45 on the back of it. All
That's
the security
hilarious.
Guards love him. And he walks down the street of, you know.
No, Trump is loved in New York. I mean, by the average New Yorker, let's put it that way. I mean, the elitists that live in the whatever ensconced communities. I have no idea what part of New York is better than the next, but because I just am not part of it. And but the Ranger games, they used to have it that the entire benches would clear, that the goaltender, watch fights where goaltenders start fighting each other. And everyone's, oh, that's terrible. That's bad for the sport. I'm like, no, it's not. You know, I was a big Broad Street Bullies fan back. My Bobby Clark was my idol. Wanted, and he had no teeth. And I was the only one of my friends that didn't lose teeth or get stitches playing hockey. And then sure enough, I start in construction. I fall 3 stories off a roof on frozen ground and busted up dislocated my arm. Literally, it's dangling. Half my arm. I felt like it was disconnected. It literally came out of the socket, busted up all my teeth. I used to bond them for years. It was the best I could do. Then you take a bite of an apple, 3 of them pop out one day, 2 the next day. And I had to finally get them fixed.
Wow, you'd be like an honorary Canadian.
Yeah, I really would. It's like, for example, I would ride a bicycle. I was on a kick for a while, riding a bike outside. I just like to get outside once in a while. And everybody has a helmet on.
Like a Schwinn?
No, I love Schwinn. That's a good...
Or a Vespa.
No, oh, shush up, you. It's just, you just stop and calm down in there. And I'd ride a bicycle, and people would ask me, my kids would ask me, where's your helmet, Dad? Because I make them wear a helmet. I'm not wearing a helmet. Nobody wears a helmet when we were growing up.
Dude, I got so embarrassed. First time I took Liam out, I take him out, I put him on the bike. I don't know what I'm doing.
You have training wheels?
Yeah. No, it's something called a cruisie. And so they don't have training wheels. It teaches kids balance without the training wheels. It's really cool. So they move right from the cruisie.
And they can't fall off it?
Correct. So they go right from the cruisy to a regular two-wheeler. Okay, fine. I don't even think about the helmet. So I take him out. I'm in the park, and I'm getting a lot of side eye. A lot. I'm not popular at all. And I'm like, gosh. So this mom walks over to me. She's like, hi. And I was like, hey, how you doing? She's like, is that your son over there without the helmet on?
Because
it's really unsafe.
Mind your own business.
And I look at her, and I go,
mind your own business.
But I'm like, doing like 3 miles an hour and his feet touch the ground. And I'm just like, a helmet for what? She goes, oh, well, I guess if you want to risk brain injury.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, dude, what? The front door? I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Listen, I'm all in favor of like some of the rules, new rules in football. I get you don't want to destroy somebody's career. I think, you know, the brain injury issue is a real issue. Concussions are real issues. We have too much evidence now to back that up. Okay, that's fine. But you know what? I don't want to lose football, to take the edge out of football, and they're taking it out of hockey now. And it's just a pain. It's just you know, when we were kids, we would constantly drop our gloves, have fights, pick up our gloves, and start playing again. And guess what? We survived. We're okay. I don't know. But I wouldn't let my own kids do it. My son played hockey till he broke his leg skiing. That was it.
I think the thing that we're talking about here is that...
Talking about?
Yeah, we're having a conversation.
Paw Patrol talking about.
We're having a little conversation. But in all seriousness, yeah, there are serious injuries. They need to be addressed. But when we start taking it to a place that is so aggressive, so egregious, where kids can't have fun anymore because we're micromanaging them injury...
I admit I was a helicopter parent, like everybody else.
You're the worst.
I am not.
Oh, you so are. You're so full of it.
Here's the problem, though, is when I got out of school and I got off the bus, I went, ran inside, grabbed some food, you know, threw in my hand, got my hockey stick, my roller skates or my baseball bat or my football or my basketball. And I was out the door.
But it's a different time.
That was it. No, you can't do that today.
You can't. It's horrible.
You can't. I mean, you've got these predators everywhere. And I mean, it's so horrible. It's not me. It's the times that we live in.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely find myself, you know, a lot. I was actually thinking about this the other day. You know, I was at the park with my son and you know, my time with my son is my time with my son. I'm all on. I'm hands-on parent. But these people are all in the park and they're on their cell phones and they're not paying attention. And they've done a bunch of those hidden camera shows now where they'll show a parent and the other parent, whether they're divorced or whatever it is, and they'll show how distracted they are. They'll have a person come up, lure the kid away with candy or a toy or whatever, and then the other parent's watching on film as their child is kidnapped.
That's terrible. All right, let's say hi to Angel is in Long Island in New York. Big problem in Long Island, MS-13. The guy that was guilty of manslaughter, illegal immigrant, that got caught just a week ago. Angel, how are you? Glad you called.
Thank you, Sean. I'm a first-time caller. And my question is about the FISA abuse. When you go in front of the FISA court for the first time, the original FISA, and then you went back for three more, is it all in front of the same judge or is it four separate judges? And why haven't we gotten their names to find out if they were Obama appointees? Thank you, Sean.
Well, I think that's a good point. I mean, all of this is now coming. That's the Bill Barr, the Attorney General, William Barr, confirming that the Obama administration spied on the Trump campaign. And those, what he's saying when he says that as Attorney General, you're not allowed to turn the powerful tools of intelligence on the American people. And what he's saying is, we are going to uphold the law. And that's what he said yesterday, and he confirmed again today. And that's why all of this is so important. That's why I spent all this time today going over all of this. Let's say hi to Doug, Kansas. Doug, how are you? Glad you called, sir.
Hi, Sean. Glad to talk to you from the center of the country. I don't believe what you're telling me. I have listened to you forever, and for the last 2 years, you said everybody's going to be held accountable. I don't believe it's going to happen.
You're not.
We've had you and John Solomon and Greg Jarrett. Greg Jarrett wrote a book on what was going on. It's been out for 6 months. And Barr is going to say, I'm going to look into it. Where's the whistleblowers? Hillary looking into her campaign, it was taken away from the rank and file. Where's the rank and file whistleblowers?
No. All right, you got to listen to me. I know you're frustrated. I know it's taken us 2 years of a lot of investigative reporting. And I can tell you, this small group of us, I'm going to forget people, Greg, Sarah, John, David, Sidney Powell, help me out. Alan Dershowitz.
Sidney Powell, David Schoen.
I mean, we have all these
Peter
people.
Schweitzer.
And then other people on the radio, like Rush and Mark, and Laura was and Tucker and people like that. But there's not a lot of us. And frankly, this is, we have done, I would argue we're the show of record on this. We have been on this longer and from the beginning. It started in March of 2017 when we began the process. Now, here's what's coming. This is what I've been saying to you. Take Barr's comments today, confirming and put it together with yesterday's comments about unlawful surveillance of U.S. citizens happening. About the FBI's, you know, how this all originates, about the FISA abuse. Remember, we're getting criminal referrals. The Barr now has an investigation. We have the Horowitz report on FISA, the Hoover report on leaking. More closed-door testimony, FISA applications, Gang of Eight materials, 302s. It's going to come cascading down. It's happening. And I haven't been wrong yet. And that's why I would just ask you to please be patient and hang with us. And we'll get there. I promise you that. We'll get there. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. We got a great Hannity tonight. The Attorney General admitting, yeah, the Trump campaign was spied on. That means the media, Democrats, they all lied to you. We're going to lay out the closing arguments and buckle up for what's about to come. Lindsey Graham was at the hearings today. Jim Jordan, Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, Glenn Beck tonight. Also, Lawrence Jones, Steve Scalise, and Joe Concha. Hannity, 9 Eastern. We'll see you tonight. Back here tomorrow. We'll